last night we studied the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians mainly is talk about freedom. The first part, chapter 1 to chapter 4, is freedom from Mosaic law. And the second part, chapter 5 to chapter 6, is freedom from the lust, the sinful desire. And the reason we have freedom from the law is because we have the truth of justification by faith. Law itself is good, but law only makes us become a sinner. So under the law, we are hopeless. And Jesus came, and he said, only believe in him, and we will be justified. So from now on, we don't have to keep the law. We are free, and law itself is a burden. So the burden has been lifted up on Calvary. So this is Galatians. So chapter 1 to chapter 2, verse 10, is the faith defended. And Paul talk about the faith he preached was revealed to him directly. So he was very sure anyone preached the gospel different from what he preached, he should be cursed. So he was very sure the truth revealed to him is the absolute truth. And then from chapter 3 to chapter 4 is the doctrine, the gospel of grace, justification by faith explained. So what does it mean, justification by faith? So in chapter 3 to chapter 4, give a very detailed explanation. So it's very similar to the book of Romans. So chapter 3 say, regardless of different racial background and different social status and different sex gender, right? We all become one in Jesus Christ. So this is the best way to resolve all different culture, racial issue. In Christ, we are all one. And chapter 4 talk about we regain the sonship through Jesus Christ. And the proof of the sonship is Holy Spirit, verse 5, verse 6. So especially in TJC, we are so sure we are the children of God because we receive the Holy Spirit. Just like Jesus when he was baptized, as soon as he get out of the water, and the Holy Spirit descend on him like a dog, and there was a boy proclaimed, this is my beloved son. So we are very sure we are the children of God. Like Jesus Christ, his spirit come to us. We remember Acts chapter 19, even though they received baptism, but they still don't have Holy Spirit. Because that baptism only for repentance, not for justification. And the baptism of justification is in TJC. Through the baptism, our sin can be washed away, so we are justified. The sin has been covered, so the Holy Spirit will come to us. And chapter 4, little part talk about Abraham had two sons, and the same father had two sons that come from two sources. And one represents the covenant in the Sinai, which is Old Testament. The other one is a covenant in the New Testament, which is through Jesus Christ. So this is verse chapter 1 to chapter 4. So how can you receive freedom from the truth of salvation? You will receive truth or freedom. The next rhythm is after we receive the baptism, we are justified. Then we still have a sinful nature. What should we do? Now, and sinful nature is rooted deeply inside our body. So what can we do? It's almost impossible to root out sinful nature. So chapter 5 talks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit and the evil desire are struggling to each other. Verse 17. So we are unable to do whatever we want to do. Either we become the slave of Holy Spirit or we become the slave of the lust. However, when we are filled by the Holy Spirit, we are filled by the power of God, we are filled by the divine nature of God, then we will be transformed. In verse 22. Nine different kind of fruit, but the fruit is singular. So bearing fruit is something very natural. When the life is mature and the fruit will come out naturally. So when we are filled with the divine nature, then our life will be transformed naturally. If we are not filled by the divine nature, even though we try hard, we still cannot bear the fruit. So we become the partaker of divine nature through the pouring down of the Holy Spirit. And once the evil desire being overcome, being rooted out, then we were able to really enjoy the freedom and loving each other and serving each other. This is Galatians, and we look into the next book, Ephesians. The theme of Ephesians is church is the body of Christ. In church, everyone becomes one. The key words, will, walk, and warfare are the key words in the book of Ephesians. The chapter 1, last verse. Ephesians chapter 1, last verse. He put all things under his feet and gave him to be head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fill all in all. So church is the body of Christ, the fullness of him referring to God, who fill all in all. God fill upon the church. So that's the reason when we join the right church, we were able to receive the Holy Spirit. Because the right church is the right body, and that body has the Spirit of God. So this body is a living body. So in this body, we were able to receive the Holy Spirit. So the whole book is talk about one body in Christ. Church is the one body. And chapter 1, the first part talk about the grace of redemption, which has been given to us before the creation of the world, in chapter 1, first part. So we are saved, but God already have decided to save us before the creation of the world. Before the creation of the world, God already know us. God already save us. So when the due time, then we go to a right place, and it happens the right person preach to us, and then we are converted. So the grace of salvation given to us long, long time ago. And chapter 1, verse 13 to 14, we are so sure we can receive the inheritance in heaven is because the Holy Spirit, verse 14, Holy Spirit is a guarantee of our inheritance. And then from verse 15 onwards to the end of chapter 1, it talks about the hope in the heavenly kingdom. So we pray that God give us wisdom of revelation. And from the wisdom of revelation, we will understand three things according to chapter 1. What are the three things? Verse 17, right? Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. If we want to know God, the key is the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That spirit refers to Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit is the key to know God. So to know God is not through our own brain, it's not through our own ration, it's through the spiritual understanding. And that spiritual understanding comes from the Holy Spirit. So if anyone don't emphasize on Holy Spirit and emphasize on human ration, it end up they cannot know God. So if you hear somebody believe in the church and they don't become atheist, you after you long talk with the person, you will find one very common phenomenon. They try to use human ration to know God. But it's impossible. Our human ration is limited. If we are able to use a human ration to know God, and then God is limited. If we were able to use a human ration to know God, and those who are smart, supposed to be the smartest one, should know God the best. But actually, if you look into the United States, right, in East Coast and West Coast, the most liberal area are the area which has most prominent school. They have most of the top level of the brand, but they are most atheist people there. Why? Because we cannot use our human ration to know Him. Oh, so if we see the church try to use the human ration to argue, question about the Bible, then that will be the beginning of deviation from our true faith. Our true faith comes from the revelation of Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit give us some kind of spiritual understanding. Yes, we do have understanding, and that is spiritual understanding. God open your heart. God revealed to him, to you. So the Bible talk about revelation. You know, a lot of knowledge, as long as you are smart, you put effort into it, you can understand it. But only the matter of God, you cannot do that. Why? In the book of Isaiah, talk about God hide himself. Just like the child playing the hide and seek game. God hide himself. Nobody will ever to know him. But when God revealed to him, then everybody will able to know him. So when we humble like a children, then God will reveal himself to us. So when we receive the Holy Spirit, we are able to understand God deeper and more. That is the key. If we have the wisdom and understanding of Holy Spirit, then we can know three things. 18. You may know what the hope of his calling, what are the riches, glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. There are three things, right? The hope. What is the hope of his calling? When you go to work in a company, you are hoping to have a high pay, right? But when we believe in Jesus, we have hope of receive glory from him. And that kind of glory, you never can totally understand in this world. And that kind of glory is a mystery because it's something spiritual. But when we receive the spiritual understanding, we are able to understand that glory, and you will be attracted by that kind of glory. Your heart will be longing for that kind of glory, and your life will be transformed, because once your heart longing for that glory, your direction of life will be changed. So this is the first. The second is the reach of His glory. The first one is hope. The second, riches of His glory of inheritance. So in heaven, we all have the inheritance, and that is the glory of God. And the third one is exceeding greatness of His power. God not only is going to resurrect us, God is going to transform us. The physical body will be transformed into the spiritual body, a body like Jesus' resurrection, a body with glory, and use that kind of spiritual body to inherit the inheritance in heaven. So that is exceedingly powerful. Yeah. Okay? Yes.
Or guaranteed. But in Matthew 25, with the 10 versions,
yes.
We said that the oil represents the Holy Spirit, so if you don't have enough, you can't
have. Yeah, Matthew chapter 25 talk about 10 versions, right? And 5 fill the lamp with oil so it can shine. Yeah. So John chapter 3, verse 5 say, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So there are two prerequisites. The first is born of water, means water baptism. It takes only 2 minutes. It's totally by the grace of God. We don't put any effort. But the second one, renewal of the Holy Spirit. And there are 2 steps. The first step is we receive the Holy Spirit. The second step, we pray until we are renewed, we've been transformed by the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit is a guarantee of heavenly inheritance in blood. After we receive the Holy Spirit, we continue to pray, and Holy Spirit will renew us, and we can be saved. Okay. So there are 3 greatness, His hope, and His glory, and His power. And chapter 2, you can see one very important verse, verse 10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Today, the reason we are what we are, it is because of work of God. God's workmanship. God created us to become a new creature through Jesus Christ. Through the water baptism, through the downpouring of Holy Spirit, He created us to become a new person. And for what purpose? For good works. This is higher purpose. So the real purpose of our life is not to work. Work is to support our life. Work is not the purpose of life. The purpose of life is for good works. And what is a good works? God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So the good works referring to what? Doing God's will. According to the Old Testament, right? Do justice, have mercy, and walk humbly with God. And this is good works. So God created us in Jesus Christ for a higher purpose. Not only earn a living, enjoy the life, and die. Okay. And then, in the beginning, chapter 2, verse 1, when you read carefully, you will be shocked. And He made alive or dead in transgression and sin, in which we once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince power of the air, spirit who now work in the son of disobedience. Right? What is the according to the course of the world? According to the course of the world, in today's term, is culture. Tithing, worldly tithing. So, who is hiding behind the culture? Who? The prince of the power of the air was Satan. Now, yes, some of the culture is good, that's fine. But if anyone, anything culture right now, just like homosexual, right? Even 2 days ago, the Pope say, who am I to judge the homosexual? When Paul start to accept homosexual, you can understand the Roman Catholic are very gradually moved to the right direction. So the force behind the culture is Satan. So if we follow the worldly course, we are following the guidance of Satan. Then in the end, it's a destruction. Of course, the culture, the good one we follow, but anything against the Bible, we have to resist. So in the church, we don't emphasize culture. In the church, we emphasize the truth. Truth is above the culture. If the church, we emphasize too much culture, the church will become part of the world. So, chapter 2, we are the workmanship of God created in Jesus Christ. And from 11, chapter 2, onwards, it talks about reconciliation with Christ. So two shall be one. And chapter 3, the end of chapter 2, we don't have too much time. Chapter 3. Chapter 3, Paul was entrusted to preach the gospel to the Gentile. At that time, it was a mystery. So verse 6, the mystery is the Gentile will be justified to become one body together with the Jews. At that time, was a mystery, but now we all totally understand. And chapter 3, the later part is talk about the inner man now can be strengthened. So our life, our love have a root, that's a foundation. And this love is how high, how wide, how length, how deep is the love of Jesus Christ. Verse 19. And this love is beyond our comprehension. How come God's love is beyond our comprehension? Because God's love already reached to the spiritual realm. And the spiritual realm itself is a mystery. So how good is the heaven? We don't know. So God's love is as good as in heaven. Right? How painful it is in being crucified on the cross? We don't know. Because we never have that experience. And God's love is as deep as the suffering in the cross. So we pray, and when God's love gradually reveals inside our heart, fill upon our heart, and then we will gradually be attracted, be moved by Jesus Christ. And chapter 4 onwards, especially chapter 4, we talk about seven oneness. Right? There's one body, one spirit, one calling, one hope, one law, one faith, one baptism, one God. One body. One body means one church. So only one true church actually is biblical, because the body is one. So only one true church, because one body. Then how do you know which body is one body? There are another six oneness. This one body should fulfill the first one spirit. This body must have spirit. If a body without spirit is a dead body. So a body belong to Christ must have Holy Spirit. If we uphold this principle, 99% of the church already excluded. Because 99% of church don't even talk about Holy Spirit. Right? And then when you have one hope, you know, most of the churches, they don't talk about heaven. They don't talk about the future. They only talk about the life now. They want to make the people leave heaven in the world. But we do talk about the end of the world. We do talk about the spiritual kingdom is coming. Oh. And there's one Lord. One Lord means Jesus Christ. And there's one faith, common faith. Right? Common faith including what? Receiving the Holy Spirit. Common faith including keeping the Sabbath. Common faith including foot washing. Common faith including the Holy Communion should be performed with unleavened bread, with grape juice. And this is common faith. Right? And one baptism. One baptism means the baptism which wash away our sin and you will receive Holy Spirit. Just like the baptism performed in Acts chapter 19. Actually, they baptized two times. So a lot of churches, the baptism is only for forgiveness, for repentance, because they don't have the power of the Holy Spirit and one God. So if we use the six oneness to a criteria to judge the church, then you are going to have a conclusion. The only one social is TJC. So don't feel what? So timid to talk about our church is the only one true church. Because if you look into the truth, the conclusion, there is only one body. Then where can you find another one? Almost not. But if we look into the Old Testament, there are a lot of prophecy. The true church is going to come from the East. A lot of prophecy about that. And then chapter 4 onwards, is talk about 4 to 6, the walk and conduct of the church. 4, 1 to 16, talk about walk in unity. The church should be unified, like one body. And then 14 to chapter 5, 18, walk in righteousness. In conclusion of 14, chapter 4, 17 to chapter 5, 18, walk in righteousness. What does righteousness mean? Everything is right. Everything is right in the eyes of God. We have to add one more sentence. Everybody consider themselves right in the eyes of God. Because we are righteous. So we have to walk a life, live a life worthy of the calling, a righteous life. So we have to put on the new man. And what is new man? Verse 24. Chapter 4, verse 24. What is a new man? The righteousness and holiness. That's called new man. And we have been repeating so many times, the value of the person. It depends on whether we have the likeness of Jesus. The image of God, that represents a value of a person. Everything outside, including your knowledge, including the money, including everything you have outside, your outer appearance, in the eyes of God, that doesn't represent our value. Probably people will consider that our value, but in the eyes of God, no. The true value is whether we can reflect the image of God. So Nazareth, even though very poor, no friend, sick. But in the eyes of God, he was very valuable. Why? Because he can reflect the image of God. And that should be the goal of our pursuit in our spiritual life. Recreate the image of God inside us. And then chapter 5, verse 19 to chapter 6, walking in the world. What should we do when we live a life in the world? In the chapter 5, verse 15 onwards, we talk about live a life of wisdom and treasure the time, because the present time is evil, which means life, time actually is life. No life, no time. Our life is very precious, but this present life, they use, spend the time in a meaningless way. That means they waste the precious life. Now, so treasure time means use your time wisely. Now, verse 22 onwards to 33 is talk about marriage. Let us think about one thing now. Because I get married, so I can understand more about the relationship with Jesus Christ and the church. Or because I understand the relationship between Jesus and the church, so I know how to manage my marriage. Which one is right? Correct. Do you understand my question? You don't. Oh, let me repeat. Because I get married, so I can understand the relationship between Jesus Christ and the church more. Or because I understand the relationship between Jesus and the church deeper, so it will help me to build a better marriage. Which one is correct? Number one or number two? Number three. No, number two. Oh. I forgot, what is number two? If we read the Bible, if we go carefully, we don't have the time of chapter 5, verse 22. It is because we understand the relation between Jesus Christ and the church. It will become a role model for us to manage our marriage. It should be called that way. Not because you married and you know the relation between Jesus Christ and the church. Why? Because if you read chapter 25 or 22 to the end, right? It talk about, eventually talk about two things. Submission and love. Love. Right? Submission and love. The duty of the husband is to love the wife to a point like Jesus Christ died for the church. That's his love. So brother, if you want to get married, you have to prepare to die for your wife. Can you do that? If you can, you can get married. But if you encounter the barking dog and you hide behind your wife, and it's not right. And for the sister, when you decide to get married, you have to decide to be submissive to your husband. Right? If you cannot be submissive, your marriage cannot be like Jesus Christ and the church. So when a husband loves the wife so much like Jesus Christ loves the church, and you submissive to the husband, that's for your good, right? All the teaching of the Bible, none of the teaching of the Bible is not good. Because God loves us. So God gives us command in the teaching of the Bible. We follow the teaching of the Bible, eventually it's for good, good for us. The reason we have so many problems is because of part of our life, we don't follow the teaching of the Bible. That's the reason we have problem. So if the husband loves the wife so much, he do every decision because of love. And love, that love is a true love according to the Bible. And then the wife follows the guidance of the husband, it's good. And if the wife don't follow, the family don't follow the husband, that was the beginning of the problem. So the best counseling book about marriage, do you know which one? The best counseling book about marriage is Bible. The best book about how to teach the children is Bible. The best book about how to manage your money, you know which book? It's Bible, right? You look into that young rich man, right? He want to go to heaven. And Jesus Christ instruct him a way how to transfer the money from the earth to heaven. Is that the best way to manage money? Is that the best way to manage money? Right? You want to go to heaven, you have to bring your richness to heaven, right? Of course. The best way to manage the money is Bible. You will accumulate the invisible richness in heaven. The best way, follow the Bible, you will not be wrong. If you earn the money, you don't follow the Bible, that will be the wrong part of your life. The best to build a harmonious, blessed family is Bible. So, chapter 5 and chapter 6. Chapter 6, which verse you like the most? I can understand which verse you like the most. Which verse? You like verse 4 very much. You, Father, do not provoke your children, but bring them up in the training admonition of the Lord. Right? You like this verse the most. Now, you children, but you forget the previous two verses. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And then, verse 5 to verse 9 talk about our attitude to walk in the world. Only the church work is holy work. All the work in the company is no value. Is that true or false? Only the church is holy work because it's related to God. And I work in a company because I want to earn the money to eat. That's the reason. So work itself is meaningless. Is that true or is wrong? It's true or it's wrong? Only the holy work is had value. The work in the company, no value. The only value is earn the money. That's all. No blessing of God will follow. Is that true or false? Now you look into the answer here. Verse 7. With good willing to service and to the Lord, not to men. Verse 8. Knowing that whatever good anything anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, or where he is slave or the free. So what does that mean? If you do it faithfully, that the name of God can be glorified, even the work in heaven, God is going to give you the reward in heaven. Right? Oh, so don't look down upon the world in your world. If you use that opportunity to glorify the name of God, you will receive blessing in heaven. So whether the work is holy, is very have meaning or not, all depends on one word, whether you connect your work with God. If you detach the work from God, then become meaningless. If we attach God with the work, right? You try to glorify the name of God. You try to use that environment, try to do something for God, and then the work will become really meaningful. And the last part of the chapter 6 is talk about spiritual warfare. We have to be prepared to fight a spiritual fight. And that was, what was that spiritual fight? Fighting with Satan. The reason fighting with Satan is so difficult is because what? Two important reasons. First reason, you cannot see Satan. Satan can see you. How can you fight? You hold a gun, where should I shoot? I don't see Satan. You cannot see him and Satan see you. This is the first difficulty. The second difficulty is Satan is stronger than we do. Then how can you fight this war? He is stronger than you. He is roaring lion, moving around, but I cannot see the lion. How can you fight? The spiritual warfare, put on spiritual equipment. When we put on spiritual equipment, then we were able to fight with the invisible and powerful Satan. We were able to be victorious. And this is chapter 6. So far, any question? No question. Now we're going to so-called, or actually Ephesians is one of the prison epistles. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon consider the prison episode, which means when Paul was in prison, he wrote these four books. And when we read the book of Philippians, how do you feel when you read the book of Philippians? What's your impression? There's one word repeatedly mentioned in the book of Philippians. What's that? Joy, right? If you receive some kind of somebody's email, wow, very joyful, I'm here, I'm very joyful, I'm very glad, I'm here. Then you must see, oh, this person must be in Hawaii. In Waikiki, a five-star hotel, so he said very joyful, right? Eat sashimi and look at beautiful scene. Oh. But if we read the book of Philippians, you will never imagine that that book was written in prison. Oh. So physically, Paul was in prison, but spiritually, he was so joyful. Do you know why? Because his heart already elevated to heaven, spiritual realm. His heart already be together with Jesus. So the book of Philippians itself tells us, as a Christian, we cannot change the outside environment, but we do can change our inner heart, inner heart. How to change it? Through the pursuing of the abidance of Jesus Christ, through pursuing the words of God, through pursuing the power of God, the love of God, we are able to transform to live a very joyful life in a very hard environment. So this is a general picture of Philippians, a book of joy. Most often, when the environment change become worse, then we lose peace, we lose joy. When the environment change better, we become joyful, peaceful, right? We human beings, whether we are joyful, happy, or we are sad, all follow the environment. But Philippians tell us the different story. We can be different if our spirituality is mature. And Philippians chapter 1 is talk about joy of serving. Philippians chapter 2 talk about joy of fellowship. Philippians chapter 3 talk about joy of growth. And Philippians chapter 5 talk about, chapter 4 talk about joy of content. Next session we are going to continue. How can we be joyful in these four different kind of circumstances? Any question? We still have 1 minute. Philippians chapter 1, joy of serving. Serving God. Serving. Chapter 2, joy of fellowship. Chapter 3, joy of growth. Chapter 4, joy of content. Being content. So if we serve God, we have good fellowship. If we keep on growing, if we live a life of content, then every day we will be very joyful. That's pretty sad. Amen.